warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney, sitting in on KGov.com. As Bob has departed and gone on to eternity to be with the Lord forever and to see things clearly, much more clearly than we see them, I want to open the show with reason number 667 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. If you listen to my show over at theweeklyworldview.com, you know that we have been chronicling the reasons to get or keep your children out of the government schools for, the past, I guess it's almost 20 years now. And we had to start at number 667 because the first 666 reasons were documented right here on Bob Enyart Live by Bob Enyart himself. The first 666 reasons to get or keep your children out of the government schools had to do with the fact that the government schools were godless. There are 666 different ways godlessness negatively impacts government education. And they were all documented here on Bob Enyart Live. And around the time of the Columbine massacre, Bob Enyart documented reason number 667. That reason being that your child may be shot and killed at school. That was reason number 667 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And down, ABC reports that down in Florida, two middle school kids were plotting a massacre at their school. Somewhere in the near Fort Myers in Florida, a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old public school students were plotting to massacre as many people as they could at their school. The two were fascinated by the Columbine massacre. Police report, well, they searched their house. And so ABC reports that, well, at their house, they found a gun and several knives. And when I read that line, I thought, well, so what? If you searched my house, you would find a gun and several knives. So that really doesn't mean anything. But what they found was evidence of a fascination with the Columbine massacre in that these two middle school kids, 13 and 14 years old, were visiting websites and basically they were absorbing material, glorifying the Columbine massacre and the murderers who perpetrated the Columbine massacre. And apparently law enforcement and public school officials, people in the Department of Education at the federal level and in every state are aware that there is this underground cult-like fascination with the Columbine massacre. So we know it exists. And because we're aware, I wasn't aware of this, by the way, until a couple of years ago, something very similar to this happened. They arrested the kid before he went on the massacre, just like what just happened here in the Florida middle school. I wasn't aware that I thought it would be illegal to have a website that glorified Columbine. I thought that would not be allowed. I mean, is that something we could all agree to right now, that we're not going to allow anyone to publish a website glorifying, how about murder of any kind? But especially Columbine, because, you know, specific historic events, have a certain impact on people's minds and their emotions. And so it's very unhealthy to allow a fascination to grow with macabre, dark, evil events. It's just, it's dangerous. So I thought we had all agreed, but then I forgot. No, we haven't all agreed on what is right and wrong. So there is substantial disagreement on that fact. So let me just state for the record, here at kgov.com, we believe that any publication of any material that glorifies the Columbine Massacre should be illegal. And if anyone is convicted of publishing such material, they should be put on trial, and upon conviction, they should be put to death. How about that? Along with the pornographers, by the way. And I think we made that point at least 25 years ago. People convicted of publishing pornography upon conviction should be put to death. Why? Because they are perpetrating a crime that not only threatens people's lives, but threatens the stability of our entire society. Just like publishing material that glorifies murder. Anyway, we're thankful to there was a teacher and another student involved who pointed the authorities to these two middle schoolers before they were able to carry out the massacre. And we're thankful for them and that they understood enough about right and wrong to understand that letting someone proceed with their plans to massacre everyone at their school, they at least knew that that was wrong. It's a pretty low bar, but you have to set the bar pretty low in the public schools. All right, so I have a young friend who recently asked me for advice about joining the military. How young is this young friend? He's so young that I knew his mom when his mom was still pregnant with him. Now, does that mean he's that young or does that mean I'm that old? I think that more means that I'm that old. At least that's what it feels like. So this young man asked me my advice about joining the military because I was in the military, not for any great reason. I was desperate to leave McCamey, Texas, which if you ever go there, you'll understand. It's such a horrible place that when I went to the recruiting station, I said, "Can you get me out of McCamey, Texas?" He said, "Yes, but you might be shot and killed." And I said, I'll do it. Let's go. It's an awful, horrible place. Although the people there are wonderful. The people there were amazing, wonderful people. It's just the landscape is similar to the surface of the moon, except a little more rugged, if you can picture that. So I joined the military sort of by accident, although I will say that I was really angry at the terrorists who blew up the Marines in Beirut in 1982. That really made me angry, and it made me want to fight. And so when I got out of high school, I wanted to fight, and so I also wanted to desperately get out of my hometown. And so it all just a confluence of events more than anything all that patriotic or anything like that. But anyway, so my young friend asked me my opinion of him possibly joining the military. And so it reminded me of a conversation I had with another young man about 10 years ago. Let's see now. 10 years ago would be approximately 2010, right? 2011. So actually, I think this might have been more like 15 years ago. I believe Barack Obama was the president. Let me think about this. Yeah. No. I remember George Bush was the president. George W. Bush. Quite possibly the dumbest man to ever occupy the White House. I remember George W. Bush was president, so it was sometime between 2000 and 2008 when my other young friend, who's also a lot older now, asked me about joining the military. And I remember having a discussion with the young man back in circa 2008-ish. And I said, "Well, you know, do you want to join the military so that you can go to some far-off land to establish an Islamic government. And he said, I don't like that idea. I said, well, as best I can tell right now, what the military is trying to do is to take young American men and feed them into a meat grinder far away in order to establish an Islamic government. I said, what else are you interested in? He said, I'm also interested in history. I might become a history professor. And so I told my young friend back circa 2008, I said, you know what? I think the world probably needs history professors like you who know God and know right from wrong and actually want to know real history. I said, I think that's more important than going to some far-off land to try to establish an Islamic government. And so he ended up going to college and becoming a college professor. And he is teaching actual history right now to other human beings, which I think is more important. So I think he made the right decision. That was 10, 12, 15 years ago, somewhere in there. And so now I have another young man, 18, 19 years old, 20 maybe. Should I join the military? And I'm still not so convinced that joining the military is the best option for every young man. I think the desire to join the military is to be commended. Let me put it that way. The desire to join the military and do something to pay America back for what she gave you simply by the accident of your birth, I think that's an honorable thing. But recent events, I mean, we've just witnessed, I think, probably the most devastating event in the history of the United States military since Benedict Arnold. We just experienced that. General Mark Milley, he is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's the head of the American military. He's essentially sitting in the seat of George Washington, right? General Mark Milley is sitting in the seat of George Washington. And in a book that's coming out soon by an author who I don't care about, and the title of the book, I could care less. But this author is a reliable source. I'll just put it that way. And the author reports that Milley called a Chinese general and basically told him, if Donald Trump decides to attack you, I'll warn you first. That's what the book says that the general did. And the general hasn't denied it. And I think the reason he hasn't denied it is that he knows the transcript exists. And he knows he made the call and he knows it's all real. And I think Mark Milley doesn't think what he did was wrong. I think. So I haven't seen the transcript. I don't know exactly what General Milley said to the Chinese general. But the fact that Mark Milley has not been arrested by the military police tells me that at this point, the American government has been seized by our enemies. Or at least the highest echelons of the United States military are no longer on our side, which is really scary and disconcerting. So my young friend who asked my advice about joining the military, I told him, I don't think you should join the other side. And unfortunately, I think the military at this point is the other side, which is just shocking and terrifying to even think might be possible. And so we don't know if Mark Milley is guilty of treason or not, but that needs to be determined. Upon a reliable allegation like this, this is enough evidence that anyone else in the military, a lieutenant colonel or lower, would have already been arrested. Once a credible allegation like this surfaced against them, they would have already been arrested. And Mark Milley, I think he's getting an interview or something like that, which is really terrifying. Okay, so for those of you in the audience who have been wondering what's happening with Bob Enyart Live, what's happening with KGov, what's happening with Real Science Radio, so all we can tell you right now is the show goes on. How long does it go on? That probably depends more on you than on us. Because there's a group of men who have been around Bob for the last however many years, who now feel an obligation to carry forward with his ministry in some way. And we're humbled and honored to do so. And there's many of us. There was only one Bob, but there's a bunch of us. It's interesting. And so if you ever thought about helping the ministry, if it had ever crossed your mind, even if you have helped the ministry before with extremely large donations, consider doing it again, because it's really up to you if the ministry continues. We have the energy and the motivation. The Holy Spirit has laid it upon our hearts, especially in the days after Bob departed from here to go up there. He's laid it on our hearts that, hey, we don't have Bob to count on anymore. He did so much. It's hard to quantify the amount of intellectual energy and spiritual consciousness that Bob poured into so much of everything around him. It's really hard to quantify that, but it was a lot. So while his passing is a tremendous loss, it's actually energizing a whole bunch of us who didn't do as much as we could have or should have, or I don't know how to say it, but we're motivated anyway. But we would need your help, because we don't tolerate sponsors here. No commercial sponsors. We're not going to sell you any laundry soap. And we're not going to do commercials for men's health clinics. No, we're not going to do any of that stuff here. You don't want to hear any of that. Actually, selling dish soap is quite honorable, as a matter of fact. If you're a dish soap salesman, I did not mean to offend you. I have nothing against the sales of dish soap, but we just don't do commercial sponsors here. But if you ever wanted to help, this is the time. In fact, right now, while you're listening, before you forget about it, this is the time to go to, can they go to kgov.com and they can, there's a click, you can click it. So you could do that right now. If you opened up KGov on your phone or on your laptop or your desktop, you could just go there and just help keep the show going, because the show is going on. And from there, I want to go from General Mark Milley, who is potentially the greatest traitor in the history of America since Benedict Arnold. And that's not an exaggeration to say that. It's just that we don't happen to be in an actual shooting war with China right now. So that makes a difference in degree. But as far as the position that Mark Milley holds, Mark Milley's position is actually higher than Benedict Arnold's was. So this is worse than Benedict Arnold. At least as far as the level up the chain of command at which the traitorous event has occurred. Shocking. Shocking that Mark Milley has not been arrested. The fact that he's not been arrested indicates that there is something seriously wrong with our government. I mean, there's been serious problems in our government for my entire adult life, don't get me wrong. But this represents the type of existential threat to the fabric of our country. Well, let's just say it just adds another layer of trouble and danger. And so we go from Mark Milley to Nadal Hassan. Does anyone remember Nadal Hassan's name? You may not be that familiar with it, because there has been what appears to be a coordinated effort to erase Nadal Hassan from the history books. At least the electronic history that most young people are familiar with right now. I think most people under the age of 20, rarely read books. You think that's a stretch? That people under 20 rarely read actual physical books made of paper? I think it's not a stretch. And as far as news and history, most young people under 20 don't get that from books. They get that from their phone. And I think they get most of their news from their Facebook feed and whatever Yahoo puts up when they log on. Anyway, it's you're not going to find out a lot about Nadal Hassan. But Nadal Hassan was covered in the Washington Examiner. He congratulated the Taliban when Kabul fell. Yes, he did. He wrote from death row at Fort Leavenworth. Why is he still on death row? That must be a really long row for him to still be on that. Nadal Hassan at Fort Hood shot and killed 14 soldiers and wounded 43 others in the worst massacre in the history of the United States military. He's somehow able to publish a statement from Leavenworth boasting, quote, "We have won," unquote, when the Taliban took Afghanistan, took Kabul. So for all of you young people, and for anyone else who may have forgotten about Nadal Hassan, in 2009, Nadal Hassan murdered 14 fellow soldiers and wounded 43 others. And he's still alive. And he's publishing his advice to the Taliban to implement Sharia law in Afghanistan. As if they need his advice on what they want to do with Afghanistan. I think we know what the Taliban wants to do with Afghanistan. So I mentioned earlier that I had told my young friend back circa 2008 or 9 or whatever, did he want to join the military so that he could go off to some far-off land to establish an Islamic government? And so, despite what we've been told for approximately 20 years, that's what we ended up doing in Afghanistan. And not only did we establish an Islamic government in Afghanistan, but we also gave it a fairly impressive army pretty much overnight. Mark Milley, by the way, masterminded it. Mark Milley's legacy, in addition to being a traitor, will be the establishment of the caliphate in Afghanistan. Funded by you and I, the BRICS of the caliphate structure in Afghanistan are held together by mortar containing the blood of American men. The cream of American youth sacrificed to establish an Islamic government in Afghanistan. Why? Was it intentional? Was it just that we just don't know what we're doing? Well, everyone alive during the time period when Afghanistan was invaded and occupied and then eventually fell back to the Taliban, everyone alive during all of that will probably have to be dead before we ever know the actual truth of what just happened here. But I think it's not necessarily intentional. In fact, there's no way it was intentional. At least that wasn't the original intention. The fall of Kabul and Afghanistan has more to do with the corruption of our government and our military, which, by the way, it goes right along with the corruption of our entire society, primarily by sexual immorality and other deadly appetites that have sapped us of all of the moral capital that our forefathers gave us, to the point where a soldier who massacres his fellow soldiers, we don't even know what to do with him. He's on death row. How long will he be on death row? Probably until he dies of natural causes, because as someone once said, it's no longer a justice system. It's just a system now. The justice system did make an attempt to punish Darren Agee Merigar. What's his name? Darren Agee Merigar, 52-year-old. He was accused of flashing women, including a little girl, at a spa in Los Angeles, California. Darren Merigar, 52 years old. For some reason, he was let out of jail before his trial. I can't comprehend how you let someone out of jail before their trial when they've done something like this. But he was let out, and now he's disappeared. He's skipped his court hearing, and he's gone. This is the guy who was in jail, and Antifa showed up and rallied to get him out of jail. Isn't that strange? That people who dress in black and carry baseball bats and smash windows and stuff, what do they have in common with a sex pervert in jail? Oh, that's right. Antifa's a bunch of sex perverts, too. That's right. They are. Talk about the descendants of the brown shirts. Antifa is all of that. So they showed up and they protested that this guy was in jail. I don't know if it was the Antifa rally, but for whatever reason, the judge let him out. Probably not Antifa. It's just that's what we do with sex perverts, sex criminals. We generally let him out of jail. So they let him out of jail, and now he's disappeared. So anyway, this guy was convicted before for similar pervert-type crimes. And because our justice system doesn't know what to do, or it could be that our justice system is occupied and administered primarily by a bunch of sex perverts, that might be why they don't necessarily know what to do with one. Because they're all that. And they're not so much interested in the administration of justice as they are distracted by their own perverse appetites and lusts. And so if you've got judges and you've got lawyers and you've got jurors and they're all distracted and corrupted by their own perversions and lusts, it becomes impossible to administer justice. And you end up with Darren Merigar, a sex pervert, flashing a little girl in a spa. He ends up just getting let out of jail and disappearing. And so who knows where he will surface? Probably running for office somewhere in California. More than likely. Just a system indeed. So folks, I want to thank everyone at KGov for allowing me to sit in this week. If you want the show to go on, go to kgov.com and give us a hand. I'm Doug McBurney signing off. And as Bob would and I will do, I advise you to do right and risk the consequences.